Manual, Chapter 2, Section 3. Warped Boards. Now let's look at what to do if your boards are not flat, but are warped. Boards can be warped in four different ways. The board can cup, which is a curve across the face width of the board. It can bow, which is a curve along the face length of the board. It can crook, which is a curve along the long edge of a board. And it can twist or wind, which is a slight spiral along its length, resulting in two corners being higher and two corners being lower, so that the board rocks when placed on a flat surface. Test the flatness of boards by laying them on a flat surface. The table of the table saw is about the most reliably flat surface in your workshop, but it won't accommodate longer boards. For longer boards, try your kitchen countertops. While they may not be perfectly flat, they will let you determine the relative flatness of most boards. For cup, feel along the end of the board to determine if the end lies flat, or if there is a gap either in the middle of the end or at the edges. For bow, feel along the length of the board to determine if there is a gap between the countertop and the ends, or if there is a gap in the middle of the length. For crook, stand the board on each long edge and determine if there are any gaps. For twist, lay the board on the countertop and see if the board rocks from side to side. None of these conditions is acceptable. Generally, warping is more pronounced in larger boards and more difficult to correct. If possible, cut down the size of the boards to simplify milling. A long bowed or twisted board, for instance, will be unacceptable for use in a long tabletop. But shorter lengths of the same board probably can be milled flat. The difficulty of correction depends on the amount of warp, the thickness of the board, and the length of your jointer bed. Two steps may be called for. First, you do rough milling to remove the serious problems without concentrating much on square edges, and then waiting a few days to let the wood re-acclimate again. Only then should you begin the second step of final or finished milling to prepare the wood flat and square for use in your project. Set the jointer for a light cut, even for rough milling. It's easier to avoid mistakes such as taking off too much material, resulting in a board that is tapered along its length. And light cuts are easier both on you and your machine. Bowed boards. Bow is a curve or broad bend along the face length of a board. Your objective is to remove enough material from the ends of the board so that it eventually lies flat on its bottom face. This means that after jointing the reference face flat, the ends will be thinner than the middle section. The discrepancy will be corrected in the thickness planer when you take the second step of making the opposite face parallel to the reference face. If possible, cut the bowed board into shorter lengths before beginning to flatten the bow. This will reduce the amount of wood that must be removed to correct the bow. Place the bowed board with the concave or bowed face down on the jointer bed. Your objective is to gradually slice off the high points of the bow at the ends of the board. This is relatively easy to do if the board is fairly short and generally fits on the jointer bed, but much more difficult to do if the board overhangs the infeed table by any distance. If the board generally fits the table, proceed by pushing the bowed face of the board over the cutter head. Do not press down on the middle section of the board, flexing it to lie flat on the jointer. Use a light touch so that the cutter head cuts only the leading end of the board and the trailing end of the board, but not cutting the bowed up middle section. Continue to make passes in this manner. As more passes are made, the raised middle portion will get closer and closer to the cutter head, eventually being cut as well. Now take a final pass or two, and the result will be a flat jointed face. If the bowed bore overhangs the infeed table by very much, then the high trailing end of the board will not lift up the middle portion of the board until the trailing end reaches the infeed table, resulting in an unwanted cut into the middle portion of the length. To avoid this, push the leading end of the board over the cutter head for a short distance. Then stop and lift the board off of the cutter head. Keep your hands well away from the spinning cutter head. Return to the starting position and repeat the cut. After a few passes, much of the high spot will be removed from the leading end. Now reverse the board, being sure to keep the bowed side down. Repeat the process by now pushing the opposite end of the board over the cutter head for about the same number of cuts. Check to see how much bow remains. If a lot of bow remains, repeat the process all over again. If only a little bow remains, you can then proceed with passing the entire length of the board over the cutter head until the bottom face is flat. After a number of passes, the jointer will be cutting along more of the length of the board. Do not press down on the board to flatten it across the cutter head, because you will be cutting into this portion of the board prematurely. Continue to feed the board to remove the high spots near the corners. Eventually, the entire face of the board will become flat. Severely bowed boards may hit the front edge of the outfeed table immediately after the board passes over the cutter head. This requires you to manually lift the board to place it on the outfeed table and continue the cut. This step may have to be repeated a few times before enough of the high spots have been removed to permit the board to slide onto the outfeed table. You could also turn the board 180 degrees with the same face down and begin cutting the high spots off of the other end. After a few passes, the board should no longer catch on the outfeed table. The process of cutting off the high spots on the ends of the boards will result in the ends of the boards becoming thinner while the middle portion of the length remains thicker. That's okay for now, because the objective is to get only one face of the board flat. Later on, the thickness planer will remove the thicker midsection. Once the jointer seems to be cutting along the entire length of the board, make a final pass or two to ensure that the face is flat. Depending on the amount of the bow and the length of the board, there could be a substantial reduction in the thickness of the board. That's the reason why bowed boards are best treated in shorter lengths. Now take the board to the thickness planer and make the opposite face flat and parallel to the jointed face. Cupped boards. Cup is a curve or bend across the width of a board. If possible, rip the board into narrower widths to ease correcting the problem. Place the concave surface of the board face down and begin to joint the board. The cutter head will gradually remove the high spots along the long edges of the board, eventually resulting in a flat face. Rarely is the cup so severe as to cause problems with normal jointing. If the cup is severe, it's best to rip the board down the middle and then proceed to flatten each of the two narrower boards. Once both boards are flat, They can be edge-glued back together to produce a wider board. Once the face is jointed flat, move on to the planer. Twisted boards. Twisted boards, also called wind, are the most difficult to correct. When confronted with a twisted board, I do everything I can to avoid using it. Many twisted boards seem to be hopeless cases because they retwist after having been jointed flat. If the board is only slightly twisted, that is, twisted about 1/8 inch or less, try cutting it into shorter lengths and narrower widths and proceeding generally similar to flattening a bowed board. If the twist is greater than 1/8 inch, you can try to use shims to somewhat balance the board on the jointer infeed table. As you joint the leading end and then turn the board in a horizontal 180 degrees and joint the other end. The shims may help in reducing the amount of rocking as you push the board over the cutter head. With a board marred by a lot of twist, you can spend a lot of time trying to joint the board with repeated passes across the jointer, only to wind up with a board that is too thin at one end to be of use. Once again, the better answer is to avoid using twisted boards. Crooked boards. There are two very different methods for straightening a crooked board, depending on the amount of crook. If the crook is mild, then the board can be edge jointed with the concave side down on the jointer. Push the concave edge along the cutter head until the edge of the board clears and is no longer in contact with the cutter head. It may require a number of passes to remove the crook. It will then be necessary to turn the board clockwise end for end in a half circle and then begin to joint the opposite end of the board to remove that portion of the crook. When the crook seems to have been removed, then joint the full length of the edge a few passes to be sure it is flat and straight. Then take the board to the table saw to rip the other edge parallel to the jointed edge. If turning the board in a half circle to joint the opposite end causes tear out, then turn the board back to the original position and move the board forward until the crooked edge again comes in contact with the cutter head. Repeat this step a number of times until the edge has been straightened. The second method is to use the table saw for severely crooked boards. Crooked boards are a problem on a table saw because there is no flat edge surface to reference against the fence. Do not ever attempt to cut a crooked edge on the table saw by trying to guide one point of the curved edge against the fence. Instead, take a long piece of plywood to use as a base. The right-hand long edge of the plywood will ride securely against the rip fence. Nail or screw each end of the crooked board to the plywood base so that the board's crooked edge overlaps the outer edge of the plywood. The plywood base will ride securely against the table saw rip fence and carry the crooked edge of the board through the saw blade. Set the rip fence so that the blade will cut off the crooked edge of the board. Once the edge has been cut straight, remove the plywood base, turn the workpiece board horizontally 180 degrees so that the just cut edge is now against the table saw fence, and cut the opposite edge to be sure it is exactly parallel. Ready to move on. Don't shortcut the foregoing steps. They are essential to precision craftsmanship. Once your stock has been milled flat and square, you're ready to move on with your project. Store your individual parts on edge in a parts rack. This will help protect them against damage, will expose them to moisture change evenly, and they will be readily available for use as you need them. Use the pieces as soon as you can. If you must store pieces for future use, be sure to sticker and stack the pieces on a dead flat surface. Make the stickers all the same dimensions, at least 3/4 inches thick, and arrange the stack so that all stickers are lined up. It is also possible to store parts by wrapping them in plastic or in shrink wrap to help control moisture and wood movement. End of Chapter 2, Section 3, Tools.